So let's talk about this physical viveka. The sutta I used last night was the sutta where the Buddha was comparing emptiness to the absence of disturbances. It's empty of particular disturbances. So you could think right here, anybody that's ever been on a street corner, actually, those of you who know Seattle Inside from Soto, you know, we had the trains going by constantly, like every 10 minutes, there'd be this light rail that would go by. And we kind of got used to it, you know, just being in there. But you could say that this center now is empty of that sound of the trains going by constantly. And, or we used to have that big, huge fan that we always had to negotiate whether we were going to turn it on or not turn it on in the summertime, in the wintertime, because, you know, as soon as you didn't turn it on, it would start freezing in the room or get hot. And then if you turned it on, it was hard to hear whoever was saying anything, or it could be disruptive to your sit. Anyway, this center is empty of that. That disturbance existed, but it's not here now. And you could begin to notice disturbances that are not here now. The absence of, you are in effect secluded from those disturbances and begin to appreciate the absence of something. Whereas mostly we're just paying attention to what's here and we don't like it usually. But here you're thinking of the things, the disturbances that are absent. So one way to think about it is if you're at home, you want to go to a secure place, your place, right? So you can create a space in the house where this is my space, where I go when I'm going to sit. And that space becomes secluded from the rest of the house, just naturally. And for years, all I had was I lived in a studio, so one room. So my meditation was that wall over there, the bench in front of it. And so, I always turned my back to the rest of the house. I'm sorry, rest of the room. But now I got my own little space. You know, it's much bigger and much better. So, but still, it has that secludedness from the rest of the house. And that's really what you're doing when you think about the physical space. So here, those of us that came here, we came and we are, you can notice the absence or the empty of all your house stuff that would normally happen here. We're secluded in this place that's kind of simplified so that meditation can be easy. It's harder at home because you have all your stuff around, your upadhi everywhere. And so if you want to, you can find a wall and do this in the Zen style. That's the way my practice was, that when we do the walk, sit, walk, sit, walk, sit, walk, you could just go to that wall, and that's where you're at. You just seclude yourself to this little space that's right here. And this is where I'm going to do my practice. And so that you can begin to sense into this sense of physical seclusion. Another part of physical seclusion is not just the physical location of where you're at. And the Buddha used an example the monastery that used to be a palace. So the palace, it was secluded from all the palace stuff. And then it was a monastery of monks. But you could get even disturbances in that community, and you could go one step further into the wilderness. But even the wilderness has its kind of disturbances, scary snakes and things like that. And you could seclude even further into the singleness of your meditative object. And so even though it doesn't necessarily seem like that a meditative object is your seclusion, but it is the body. It is the physical thing that you hold on to that keeps you here in the present moment. So that becomes this physical seclusion. It's why I think mindfulness is part of this physical seclusion. Mindfulness itself, the practice of mindfulness. There's a quote the Buddha gave, says that mindfulness is the protector of the mind. And without mindfulness, it has no restraint. And so what it's saying is that cultivating mindfulness is not just for relaxation. Cultivating mindfulness isn't just about, can it increase your productivity? It never increased my productivity, but it's more that mindfulness is a protection from the unruliness of the mind. You're actually protecting the mind from itself. And it wants to be protected. It's sort of like kids that are unruly, all over the place. And then they get in with someone who's disciplined, not abusive, but disciplined, firm, steady. And they can become some of the best students, kids. They feel safe and protected around someone that's disciplined. They can be unruly if they don't have it, but they would prefer to have that discipline, that steadiness. And that's the same way with the mind. It's why in concentration, when we start getting very still, we like it. And we want that all the time because we think that the pleasure is coming from the concentration. But actually, the pleasure is what the mind associates with concentration, just because it likes stillness. It likes ruliness. It likes when it is not run amok. It will run amok, and we do run amok, but it prefers to be steady and still. So in a way, it's sort of like when you take care of your house, when you take care of your kids, when you take care with your job, or you take care with anything, that's what you're doing. You're taking care of the mind. With this mindfulness, you're taking care of helping the mind learn how to be protected. And it is a physical, the object, the single object you grab, whatever it is, it's a object that you're holding that brings you to the present moment. And in that present moment, that object is your physicality. It's the physical seclusion that you hold on to that keeps you steady in the present moment. You don't have to stay there, but you have this relationship with it of tying yourself to it. So what I like to point to is you can think of our relationship with Buddha as this physical seclusion. Buddha, the physical being, could do it that way, or I like Ajahn Sumedho's connection that the Buddha represents mindfulness, because that's what he taught everywhere. That's what he lived and breathed, was mindfulness. It's kind of strange because he took something that's very normal and made it holy, right? So mindfulness is not the Buddha's mindfulness. It comes with the body. We all have mindfulness. We can all be mindful of anything we're interested in, and we can stay with it for hours. It doesn't take, you don't have to be a Buddhist to be mindful. But I don't know if you ever noticed it, but in the Satipatthana, where the Buddha is the sutta on establishing mindfulness, it says in the refrain that you're supposed to be diligent, mindful, ardent, and I think it's like contemplate independent without being, you know, overwhelmed with the world. And I used to always say, how can he say be mindful when you're establishing mindfulness? That's the whole point of this sutta, is to teach you how to establish mindfulness. And so why would he say be mindful, be diligent, be mindful, be ardent, and to contemplate independent of grasping or aversion in the world? And then it occurred to me that the mindfulness he's establishing is very different than the mindfulness that we normally have. We normally can be mindful, pay attention to something. But he's establishing what you could call a maha mindfulness, a greater mindfulness. Maha meaning a greater. So it's a greater mindfulness. You're not just mindful, but you are establishing mindfulness as a attitude, a state of being, a way of being. And that kind of mindfulness means that you are coming into a sense of being present with whatever is here. Just think about it. If you were physically present, be present with whatever's happening. And you're not caught up in any reactivity. You're just with it, whatever it is, whatever's happening, I'm with it. We've all felt that. Somebody could get really sick or get injured, and we're like right there with it. We're not lost in, oh my God, what's going to happen, what to do? And we're not lost in any of that reactivity. We're just right there with whatever we need to do. It always feels still and serene. Even though it could be a difficult situation, we feel right there. It doesn't get crazy and weird until after everything happens. And now we're sitting back. And we're like, oh my God, what just happened? Oh my God, it's all frantic then. We're all worried. What does that mean? Oh my God, what if it happens again? Oh, this is crazy. But when we're in it and we're present, there's a steadiness to it. So what you are establishing when you establish mindfulness is you are learning to establish mindfulness as a present moment awareness. And when you're aware presently, you are capable of being with anything. It doesn't really matter. There's no special thing that you have to have. That's what we're going to try to cultivate, is to begin to see. And the way, of course, to see this mindfulness as physical, this is your object of meditation is your physical thing that you're holding on to in the present moment. You will have it, and then you won't have it. And then you'll find it, and then you won't have it. That is important. It is important to lose that object and not have it, and remember to find it back. That's what makes mindfulness great. It's not having the object and staying with it. You don't want to like hold on to it. No, I'm not going to leave it. No, 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 I'm going to stay. You don't want to do that. You want that object to just sit by you right here. And I know we're together. Just sit right here. And it just stays. You don't want to have to constantly hold it for it to be here. So you try to find an anchor that anchors you physically into the present moment, and then it'll move. And then you'll have this discipline to kind of remember to bring it back here. It'll move, and you'll just remember to bring it back here. You don't care that it moves. You're not moving it anyway. If it were your choice, you would stay with the anchor the whole time. But it's not your choice. And our mind is going to wander off, and we're going to start thinking about all kinds of things. But if you have the attitude that that wandering off is included as part of learning to cultivate physical seclusion, then the fact that the mind wanders off is not a problem, because it's part of, it's almost like every time the mind wanders off, you have to say, oh, thank you for getting me back on the path. Thank you for wandering off so I can bring you back. Okay, fine. Thank you. And that kind of respect for the wandering off is what cultivates this kind of strength in it, because the mind begins to recognize that you're actually more interested when we come back than you are when you leave. When we do it the opposite, we leave and then we get all upset and we dwell on that, and why do I keep thinking and I can't do this, and all of a sudden we get lost in the whole conversation. So the mind misunderstands what's important to you. It thinks what's important to you is what you give your attention to. So if you're giving your attention to all of its wandering away, then that's what it thinks is important. And it will wander away all the time, all the time. But if you give this attention to the fact that it wakes up, because you don't wake it up, right? It wakes up, and all of a sudden you realize you were away. But who told you that? How did you do that? It just wakes up itself. And when it wakes up, if you are like, oh, thank you for waking up. Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll start again. Let's begin again. And then kind of have this encouragement to stay here. Then your attention is on the waking up. And it will keep waking up, waking up, waking up, waking up. That physicality, that is what we are cultivating this morning, is this beginning to appreciate the physicality of the present moment, right here. And it's physically noticeable by the temperature, wherever you're at, by the sounds, wherever you're at, by the space, wherever you're at. It's, you can, you don't have to do anything to connect to the physical world you're in. And that physicality, we're going to use that physicality to cultivate seclusion and begin to come in this seclusion of present moment, being in the present awareness here.